How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by Harrison Fagan quite yet. I'm sitting here by myself where I'm recording the pre-roll for tonight's show. I would say it's as special a show that we have recorded to this point, and I will tell you why here in a second. But before I do that, make sure everybody is following the show at Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Today's show is brought to you by BetDSI.com. Make sure you're using the promo code Lakers10 to get your $10 free on BetDSI.com to make wagers on whichever sports that you really prefer. Look, I'm not going to keep you guys longer than I have to. Here in a second, again, I'll say it again when we start talking to James. It's a dream come true kind of show. We got to talk to James Worthy for, you know, 5 or so minutes, and it was incredible. So I'm again not gonna keep you from that. He had some great answers on what we talked about. I hope everybody enjoys this. And then after we talk to James, Harrison and I are going to react to the unfortunate events that followed when the Lakers got their butts kicked by Houston. That shouldn't take away from how special this one is. And anytime we get something like this happening for us, I want to make sure I thank everybody for the support that we've gotten so far. We wouldn't be here right now without you. You are the best Lakers fans out there. Pat yourself on the back and enjoy us talking to James Worthy. And we will talk to you on the other side of this. All right, so basically dream come true moment for the show. Talking to big game James Worthy somehow. I can't believe this is actually happening. Thank you very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure, man. You guys are doing a good job. I just wanted to be a part of it.
Thank you very much. So we'll go ahead and jump into it. First question, what's the biggest difference you've seen from last year with these Lakers to this year with these Lakers?
Well, I think the first thing is the exiting of Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. That was a big moment. He was a guy that was dominant for most of his career here, almost 18 years as a dominant player. And I think that gave the younger players an opportunity to breathe a little bit and finally say, okay, now it's our turn. Mm-hmm. It's our turn to create our own identity and try to do our own thing and get back to winning. I think that was one thing. The other thing was, I think the arrival of Luke Walton, mm-hmm. Coming in, he's young, mm-hmm. a surfer guy, he kind of relate to the guys, Manhattan Beach, cool and calm. Yeah. His rapport with the players started out really good. I think he bought a system that they have had fun buying into. Mm-hmm. So losing can also, turn things around. When you're under the microscope of being, the team that lost more games than anybody in Laker history. So that's not a good taste in your mouth. So I think a collaboration of all those things and understanding what they were playing for, and that was for each other instead of themselves and the Laker brand, I think that's kind of what turned it around for.
Were you surprised by how quickly they did develop that identity?
Well, I was fortunate enough to be around the last year a little bit, uh-huh. Working with some of the big guys. So I knew their you know, the passion was there. I knew the competitiveness was there. And I expected them to do better than most people. Mm. But they exceeded,
even your expectations?
What I thought they would do this early in the season. Uh-huh. Not long term, because I had them really fighting for that last spot in the playoffs, and I still do. But I think, 10 games already before Christmas, I think they, merged and the chemistry, got together quicker than most thought.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned working with the bigs last year, and one of those guys was Julius Randle, who I think has had, probably one of the best seasons for any player on the team. Were you expecting this kind of breakout for him going into the year? I know that you said the Lakers as a team coalesced a little bit quicker than you thought, but what about Julius individually?
Well, already last year, as far as second-year players, I think he led the league in double-doubles. He had some amazing stats as a really a first-year player.
Basically a rookie, yeah.
Only played 14 minutes his rookie year. So, yeah, I did expect this from Randle because he's been really receptive to listening, and that's the one thing you look for. I expect him to pick up. I expected him to shoot the ball outside a little bit better, which he has. Mm-hmm. I expected him to use his counters, his drop steps, which he's had some big moments in games where he's hit big buckets with that one move. Still hasn't, developed the right as much as I'd like to see. But, yeah, as far as, him excelling, yeah, he's met my expectations and exceeded them a little bit.
And in playing with him, so the game right now is a completely different one than you played, back with the Showtime Lakers. How do you think you would play? Would you be more of a 3 or a 4, do you think, nowadays? Especially probably, after working with Randle.
Probably a 4. Yeah. Probably more of a 4. Fours are smaller now, Even at my height, Draymond Green and people like that, depending on the lineup, you could see, guys like myself, A.C. Green. Well, A.C. Green did play 5. But, yeah, I'd probably be more 3 or 4, depending on the matchups.
Would you have liked to play in this style of game as kind of an undersized 4, so to speak?
We played a variety of games during Showtime
era.
Yeah. So, we had a center that threw the sky hook when we needed, and we ran. We could run, most of the time we were running and slicing. I think we could adapt to it.
Yeah, I guess the biggest difference would have been the number of 3 shot, right? That would have been the biggest thing to get used to in this style versus the Showtime era.
That and, the center is being taken out of the game. The 3 seems to be more important than the 2s now, and that's the trend. Mm-hmm. Which is, it's really different. Mm-hmm. In order to shoot 3s on our team, you had to be over 33% or 34%. So we only had 2 guys. Mm-hmm. Really, Michael Cooper and Byron Scott that shot 3s. Magic toward the end. I never shot 3s because, where I was a post-up player. So the way you run your offense is, make the defense collapse, and you have to double. Mm-hmm. You don't double Kareem, he gets 50. You don't double me, I'm going to, score. Mm-hmm. And so we depended on that and getting the ball out for open threes.
Absolutely. Well, again, thank you very much for making time for us here today. We really appreciate it, and hopefully be able to catch up with you as the year goes along.
All right, guys, keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
All right, so that was James Worthy somehow on the Locked On Lakers podcast with us. I don't know how that happened or how it came about or how somebody of James Worthy's stature would want to, hop on a podcast with a couple losers like Harrison and myself. But here we are. And again, today's show is brought to you by BetDSI. And before we move on to talk about tonight's game and the overall experience of being at Spectrum Sportsnet headquarters, let's really quickly talk about BetDSI, Harrison. What is your favorite aspect of BetDSI.com?
Well, I talked about this the last time that we talked about BetDSI, but I just love that they're safe. When I bet there, and if I'm betting somewhere, I want to feel like my money is safe. And with them, you know that it is. They have 20 years in the business. You can bet on Lakers games. You can bet on basically any NBA bet you would want to bet on. You can bet on all kinds of other ridiculous things that they have kind of prop bets on. So, I mean, it's a really versatile site. And most importantly for me, you're going to feel safe there.
Absolutely. That's always the big one is anytime a credit card goes into the internet or credit card information goes into the internet, you know, there's always that kind of eerie feeling of, all right, who's actually seeing this? With BetDSI.com, you know you feel safe. Harrison and I feel safe every time we do that. Harrison mentioned all the different kind of bets you can make. So make sure you're using the promo code Lakers10 on BetDSI.com. Again, we're like the utmost professionals when we do these things. Lakers10 at BetDSI.com. Go to BetDSI.com now to...
You also get an 100% bonus on your first deposit. That's without even using the promo code. And the promo code gets you $10 free. So basically, we're just throwing free money at you.
Yeah, I'm terrible at math, but it seems like you can get 20 free bucks if you use the two promo codes together. So get your free wager. Start winning today. Again, that's BetDSI.com. Now Harrison and I get to move on and talk about the glory that was the Lakers playing against the Houston Rockets.
Well, if you would have bet on the Lakers tonight, you would not have won money.
No. In fact, you would go broke for having bet on the Lakers. If you bet on the Lakers, you might have to talk to somebody about your gambling habits. Like, what would you even be thinking there?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think that the Lakers were going to win tonight. I also did not think that this was going to happen.
That's fair.
That was really bad. That might have been their worst game this year.
Yeah, I would happen to agree. I would probably say giving up 134 points, even with Houston playing the way they were and Eric Gordon, it felt like every time he looked up, he was hitting another three-pointer.
Yeah, I kept thinking he was James Harden and then realizing that was Eric Gordon. But just based on production, yeah.
Yeah.
He was really good.
He played. I mean, he hit a career high 8 three-pointers tonight. He made 8 three-pointers on 8 of 12 shooting from three-point range. That's insane.
My analytics tell me that's good.
Yes, I think his true shooting percentage when you shoot like that is just wow.
I think the calculator just explodes.
Yeah, I think that's how that works.
Yeah.
I still don't want to go full hot take though and judge the Lakers' overall effort. Am I fair in doing that? Is it fair to not go that far? Because again, it was interesting to hear Worthy talk about it a little bit in passing tonight, where he just kind of said like a young team, it's tough for a young team to make up for injuries, and he was completely right. You know, when he's watching. When you watch a young team, you know, try to make up for, you know, their teammates being hurt, it's not going to work out very well because they aren't used to playing in the NBA as it is. And when you're playing at a talent and fatigue deficit, things just don't go very right. You know, they don't go well very often. And, yeah, tonight was just one of those things where I don't know if it was necessarily the Lakers not playing hard enough so much as it was just, the Houston Rockets have been playing great basketball, and they shot the ball really well today, and the Lakers just kind of ran into a buzzsaw.
Yeah, there wasn't – the Lakers just – they didn't have a lot going right for them going into this game. They're still obviously missing their starting backcourt. Russell is arguably their best player right now. It's just – you know, a buzzsaw is the best way to describe what they ran up against tonight. Luke Walton called out their effort a little bit after the game, but I think that's kind of that coaches are going to do that at times, or not even necessarily calling out their effort, just saying that the team can't use injuries as an excuse, which I think is fair. Like, you can't have the team getting into that mindset. You want them to think that they can compete on every night, but it's also okay for us as analysts to say it wasn't reasonable to expect them to compete on every night. It's still good for them to build the habit of thinking that they can, but in this case, I mean, they really couldn't.
On the year, I think they've been blown out maybe three times.
So what, this game, the Raptors, and both games against the Warriors?
Yeah, all right, so four times. They've been blown out four times, and the Warriors games, like, the Warriors are the best roster we've ever seen.
Yeah, we'll count that as one. That doesn't count as two blowouts.
Yeah, the Warriors game is just kind of like, okay, yeah, that's the Warriors. You know, the Raptors game was actually kind of disappointing with how that turned out, and then tonight was semi-disappointing with how that turned out, but at their full strength, I don't think they've been legitimately blown out quite yet, right?
Not that's jumping to mind immediately.
Yeah, and so the reason I'm bringing that up, and Harrison, you and I should maybe do a little bit better job of keeping these things at the forefront of our mind when we're going to bring that point up. This is my point to make, so I'll take the blame for it. But the reason I'm bringing that up is when this team is at their full strength, they tend to compete. You know, it's pretty rare that they don't necessarily compete to their best abilities. Tonight was one of those nights where it just wasn't going to work out for them, you know, and these games happen, and this doesn't mean that, you know, fans should freak out about the direction of this team. It just means they played a really good Rockets team that over the last couple of weeks, you'd be pretty hard pressed to find a team other than the Warriors playing better than the Rockets. Actually, the Rockets beat the Warriors.
Yeah, the Rockets are rolling right now, it's fair to say.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to have to step in front of a Rocket when it's going full-blown, and that's what the Lakers had to do tonight. See what I did there? Harrison, did you see what I did there?
I'm just going to let that one fall flat. Houston, we have a problem. That was a bad joke.
Your joke is way worse because it wasn't even original. All right, but so that was a game. I mean, Randall finishes with 21-10 on 9 of 19 shooting. He continues to struggle a little bit at the rim. You know, getting kind of back to the tendencies that I wasn't thrilled seeing last year. You know, just kind of putting his head down and hoping he gets to the rim. I wasn't happy, you know, seeing that. I think Russell getting back into the lineup takes some of the creativity issues off of Randall's hands. That'll be nice to see when he gets back. Clarkson struggled fairly mildly.
Not the best starting debut.
Yes. No.
I think we could say that. 3 of 13, 7 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 turnover, -26 on the night. That's probably not the line he wanted in his first start.
Right. And to be fair to Clarkson, Williams finishes -26. Ingram finishes -31.
Yeah, everybody was a minus tonight. They got destroyed.
Well, not just minus, but minus big numbers. You know, -26, -20, -19, -10, -18, going down the starting lineup, and yeah, it was just, look, blowouts happen sometimes in the NBA, and tonight the Rockets came out and handled the Lakers. It wasn't a great matchup from the get-go. And then the Rockets started hitting everything, following in Eric Gordon's footsteps. And if you're the Lakers, you just kind of move on and get ready to play the next one, especially as, you know, we get news today that Nick Young is shooting three-pointers again. D'Angelo Russell has, you know, Monday targeted as a best-case scenario return date. You know, Larry Nance Jr. got back into the lineup tonight, so the Lakers are getting their pieces back. It's just a matter of trying to tread water until they do, and tonight they did not tread water very well. No,
tonight they drowned. So
yeah. Yes, they.
Yeah.
Jack Dawson thinks that they drowned in incredible fashion. Moving on.
Okay, I didn't get that reference, but
we Titanic, should probably... dude. How do you not know who Jack Dawson is? Jack Dawson is from Titanic.
I haven't seen that movie.
You're kidding.
We should just move on, probably.
No, I can't move on. You've never seen Titanic?
No.
Okay, everybody listening to the show, jump in H.M. Fagan's mentions at H.M. Fagan on Twitter and just make fun of him for not having seen Titanic. I can't believe you haven't seen that. So you just outright hate James Cameron then?
No.
Because you don't like Avatar either.
I don't think Avatar is a very good movie, but that has not. I mean, I wouldn't say that I specifically blame James Cameron for that. I love Terminator 2.
Okay. All right, so he's 1 for 3 in your eyes.
Maybe I've seen other James Cameron movies that I just can't think of.
He doesn't make very many movies.
So for everyone listening to this for the first time, because we got James Worthy on, I promise this is normally a Lakers podcast, but
I'm blown away that you haven't seen Titanic. All right, so let's go ahead and move on though.
Are you going to invite me over to watch it?
Yes, I will.
Okay,
and it's a tearjerker though, so just be ready.
We're gonna have to do that this summer. One night you and I are gonna get together and watch Titanic and live tweet it.
I hope everybody's looking forward to that. So, what I was looking forward to heading into tonight, Spectrum Sportsnet and Spectrum as a network invited a bunch of bloggers over. There were people from Lakers Nation. We represented Silver Screen and Roll, and obviously Locked On Lakers. And they invited us in, and it was an incredible experience. We already, you know, those of you who are still listening despite the Titanic and James Cameron talk.
Hey, that was your fault, not mine.
but for those of you who listened past James Worthy and then listened to us talk about the Rockets and then listened to us talk about James Cameron and still listening right now, I can't thank Sportsnet enough for what went on tonight. It was really cool that basically what happened was we walk in. We watch, we watch the pregame stuff. We see everything that goes on behind the scenes. Harrison, go ahead and tell everybody, how many people would you say were in the control room, even in the pregame, as we were watching there, would you say?
You mean, I don't know, what would you say, 20?
What? I mean, people on production, I would say, yeah, total 20. But like in that room, I would probably say like 8 people in that room, you know, 8 to 10 people in that room. And then they had 4 or 5 camera people. They had production members. They had directors and stuff like that. So I guess total people behind the scenes going into the coverage, I would say 20. you blew me away with the number in that actual room, though.
Oh, you meant just in that room?
Yeah, just in that room.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant working on the whole thing as a whole.
Yeah, no. It's easily around 20 people, you know, watching as a production. And it was just really cool to see all the stuff that goes into something as simple as like a breakdown of a single play, right? Where you have people who are grabbing the highlight. They have to work with the talent to make sure that the talent is talking about the right thing and that they're highlighting the right thing that the talent wants to talk about. So that was cool to watch. And then, you know, after...
It's one of those things that you don't really think about, but it is interesting to see the collaboration in action. Like Derek Fisher seeing something on defense that he thought was an issue and talking to the guy who cuts up, who puts together the video packages about, hey, like maybe that's one for the post-game thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so that was something that we watched when they were taking us behind the scenes. And then so after they gave us the tour of everything that's going on there on campus, we got there and we were able to watch the game together as a group of bloggers, which is always fun. It's nice to get together and watch basketball with a bunch of like-minded people. And then from there, they took us into...
Fellow nerds, basically.
Fellow nerds to the nth degree, yes. From there, they took us into this war room and, you know, you get to sit there and watch basketball with James Worthy on one side of the table, Derek Fisher on the other side of the table, production people on the other side of the room, Chris McGee, a.k.a. Geeter, is sitting right there in front of you answering questions as well. Everybody's answering questions, having this like really cool discussion about basketball. And yes, the stuff that these guys see, I mean, Harrison, you and I, our job on the show is to parse whatever's going on with the stuff that we see ourselves. But then to talk to these guys who actually played in the NBA and see the game differently was just incredible.
Yeah, it was really interesting. It was just really interesting to see their process and how they watch the game and how that may be different.
Yeah, so at one point tonight, I asked Derek Fisher basically a general question of you know, what... you know, what is expected of players from team to team, and, you know, does it ever catch you by surprise when these roles change over time? And he gave a really interesting answer, and this is kind of what we'll put a wrap on it, and it, you know, it kind of expanded throughout the night. You'd ask a, you know, Worthy a similar question, and he'd give a similar answer. But my favorite answer tonight was, you know, a lot of these expectations with these players are things that are, you know, people don't know what's going on behind the scenes. People don't know what players themselves are actually working on a nightly basis. So as these roles change year by year, team by team, whatever it might be, fans might be surprised as that happens, but players, you know, seeing each other as peers might not necessarily be all that surprised because of they know what all these guys are capable of, you know. So whether it's Nick Young finally figuring out how to play defense, or whether it's Lou Williams creating for other people, or Julius Randle taking the step forward that he took this season, in general, people don't know what all these guys are necessarily capable of. And when these guys take those actual steps forward, basketball players as peers aren't all that blown away. I was blown away by that response because that is so much more thoughtful than I would have ever seen coming.
Well, and I think the other thing that you have to take into account is these guys, when you've played in the NBA, you understand that every single player that makes it there is supremely talented because you've played against lower levels of competition and you realize how much harder it is to play against even a quote unquote bad NBA player. You know what I mean?
Yes. No, but, like, a quote unquote bad guys, NBA player would walk into a YMCA gym and rip people limb from limb.
Walk into an NCAA gym and rip people limb from limb.
I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, most of these guys are the cream of the NCAA crop. I mean, maybe there are some NCAA teams that would be able to guard them, but like, yeah.
Yeah. No, yes. I would agree that, like, if, like, it's always funny to me when, you know, X college team puts together a
Kentucky beat the Sixers, basically.
Yes, that kind of thing. That always makes me laugh because
the answer is no.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but, yeah, what I found really interesting and, eventually, hopefully, we'll keep our fingers crossed that you know, Fisher will come on the show and whatever. But the thoughtfulness that goes into everything that he says was incredible. I was blown away. I was absolutely blown away. Worthy was great, and you know, everything that went on tonight was great. And on top of everything that went on tonight being great, Derek Fisher was he completely blew me away with his responses, and I still think in my heart of hearts that if he gets into the right situation as a coach, I think he can really make that work. I didn't anticipate the conversation going here, but this is something that just kind of came to mind right now.
Yeah, I mean, the experience was great, and I thought Derek Fisher, I don't really have a whole lot to add. I thought that he was very thoughtful in all of his answers, and, you know, I spoke with Chris McGee a little bit for a story that's going to run probably tomorrow about Fisher, and he just said that, you know, he wasn't always sure that he would want to get into being an analyst, but that he's been, you've used the word blown away a couple times, but similarly blown away by how quickly he's gotten good at it.
Yes.
He came in and was just really good. There are some guys where there's a development process and there's, you know, they have to kind of take their lumps and learn, but he said that Fisher has been mostly seamless coming in.
Absolutely agree. I could actually, I'm not going to disagree considering that he said that to you. But I could completely see that working out. So anyway, I hope everybody enjoyed today's podcast. James was great in the beginning. The Lakers struggled tonight against Houston, or last night against Houston. 134-95 was the final there. Harrison and I and Drew and all of everybody who went to Spectrum tonight had a great time. So thanks again for that opportunity to Spectrum Sportsnet. We will talk to everybody again tomorrow as the Lakers get ready to play the Phoenix Suns on Friday. Have a good
night. We fingers crossed, we should have a pretty good guest for tomorrow, too.
Yes. It somehow, some way or another, we keep getting people who are interested in coming on the show. So, yeah, let's just keep knocking on wood and hope that doesn't change. Thanks, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks, Harrison, for driving tonight. That was that was fun. Not having to worry about driving in Los Angeles, and we will talk to everybody again tomorrow.
Well, wait, hold. People can find the show where?
They can find the show at, as I'm terrible at my job, Audio Boom, iTunes.
It's late. In fairness, it's late. We did not get back from Los Angeles and the studios until very late, so we're recording this late. We apologize for the bumpiness of it at times.
Yeah. You can find the show at Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Today's show is brought to you by BetDSI.com. Again, it's a safe, secure way to bet your money. Start your winning today at BetDSI.com. Use the promo code LAKERS10. That is Lakers, as it's normally spelled, and the number 10 to get you $10 free deposit on the site. And then they do, as Harrison said earlier, match that deposit. So,
well, they match your first deposit. I'm not sure that they match the promo code, but they match your first deposit on the site.
But it's a pretty easy way to just get free money to bet on.
Either way, you're getting free money.
Yes, absolutely. So, again, that's BetDSI.com. They sponsored today's show. Use the promo code LAKERS10. We will talk to everybody again tomorrow. And shouts to James Worthy, because even though usually we shout, you know, some of the lesser known Lakers, James Worthy came on the podcast today, and that was pretty dang cool.
First Showtime Laker to appear.
Talk to everybody later.
The kids are playing and laughing. The house is filled with a life you've worked so hard to build. You're committed to protecting this life and everyone in it. Life insurance from USAA can help.
Call 1-800-531-LIFE for a quote.